Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we are your daily Astros podcast. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse, and I am joined here with Mark White. You can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter, at H-Town Wheelhouse on Instagram. You can also find us at Locked On Astros on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and at Stros411 on the same apps. Always positive, always Stros. Mark, I'm bringing you in because we've got some conversations to have. Tell us about you real quick, where they can find you on Twitter and where they can find articles that you write.
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. I get to watch you and Eric quite a bit, and I've been following you guys for a couple of years. I know Eric has been writing on the crawfish boxes, and that's where I will appear from time to time. But excited to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Mark, there are a lot of things that get talked about when it comes to Rule 5 players, when it comes to minor leaguers. And you and I have had many conversations offline. We typically don't have them in the Twitter space just because it kind of gets convoluted. And there are a lot of people that have opinions out there. There are a lot of people, and I wouldn't say right opinions or wrong opinions. What I've learned is a lot of times the things that I know, I may not know enough. Like, I scratched the surface, and I learned a lot more this year about the minors, going to Sugarland, hanging out with the Skeeters, listening to them in the press box, talk to their player development guys, and kind of got a feel for how that works, all right? And so we've got fans here, and tell us how you got interested and how you got into kind of the minors and how you got into like just delving into it, because it seems like it's pretty intense.
Well, first of all, it's hard to kind of get a perfect idea of what's going on, except for having guys on the ground level. So it's I really appreciate guys like you who finally have, you know, focused on getting out to Sugarland and giving us some intel on the ground. I've been here since 1980 when most people came, honestly kind of fell out of interest with the Astros when they were in the 100 loss seasons. And it was just after that point where I started to really start to delve into the prospects, realize there were 7 teams. It's a whole lot of players. And just started to get to, you know, an interest about what makes these guys one better than another. And so we're all the time looking, especially on Twitter, with scouts who actually find these players in their hometowns. We're trying to get really the latest information about that from family and friends, finding out where their exit velos are for offensively and what they're throwing, what kind of velocity they're throwing and things like that. So it's amazing that how when they come into a system like the Astros, they might be sitting at 92, 93, and a guy like Jose Urquidy was nowhere on anybody's list. And then all of a sudden he's throwing 98. And within a few weeks, he's on everybody's board. So yeah. That's one of the things I think that we can bring to the fans who are just sort of average Joes, who are really looking to kind of find out who's going to make their mark this year. Last year, nobody had ever heard of Jake Myers, and now he's Rake Farm 2.0. I mean, everybody's got a nickname for him, for a Tasmanian Devil. I mean, he was a 21st rounder from Millersville, Pennsylvania, an unheard of. And here's a guy who was so good, so well thought of, that we could get rid of a guy like Miles Straw, who was coming on so strong. So I think
exactly.
The fans are really interested to find out who are the guys that we just don't hear much about. We hear about the top 10 and things like that. And I appreciate you guys having already covered the Rule 5. You've already covered a lot of this, but so maybe I can bring some nuanced information about some of these guys.
No, yeah, definitely. And I want to reference an article that you entitled GS1 Top 30. Okay. You give nicknames to some of these players, and you said you nicknamed them because you used to coach. And when you had players, you would give them nicknames. You would give them nicknames that kind of characterized their attributes the player had. If he was a flamethrower, if he was a five tool type of kid. And so, like, number one, you have Pedro Leon, you have Pedro Tooled Up Leon, but there are three that I want to focus on because I'm really, really excited about Hunter Brown. You call him the freight train. I think the kid looks exactly like a young Justin Verlander because he emulated his style after Verlander at a young age, being from Detroit. And it's amazing how much his actual motion mimics that of Justin Verlander, from the leg kick to the way his leg comes out when he throws, everything, his arm slot. I mean, everything is almost identical. And then you have on here, you have Alex the Kid Santos, who I'm really excited about. And I know he's probably a couple years off, but tell us about Shea Versatility Whitcomb. You got him at number 16. That's not far from the top 10. What can you tell the people about Shane Whitcomb? Maybe a name that a lot of people don't know or aren't familiar with.
Well, Shea is a West Coast kid, and we drafted him as a shortstop. And a lot of folks are kind of wondering, well, how in the world can we let Carlos Correa walk? And if you think about it, it's for such a time as this that the Astros have been drafting shortstops ever since Carlos Correa took the field. We went after Dowry Lorenzo. We went after Freudis Nova. We paid over $1 million for him. So why are we still drafting shortstops? And the answer for a guy like Shea Whitcomb is he's got some pretty darn good power. We want to try to get his K rate down a little bit, but I think that kid's going to stick, absolutely. I see him here recently with a couple of other young studs in the game and stuff, so you kind of get an idea that we're not the only ones who have noticed him. So Shea is one of these guys that's got real good power. When I call him versatility, Pena is probably going to be the future at shortstop. So what are we going to do with a guy like that? Move him over to third, move him over to second. And, one of the things that we kind of came to an end point with Toro is that he was blocked by Bregman. He's got this huge arm, and he doesn't play outfield. So, a lot of these prospects we're really high on, but they're blocked. J.D. Davis is a good example. Heck, even Alex Bregman, we drafted him as a shortstop, and he's got to move over. So the Astros are real big on making sure these guys play secondary positions so that they can absolutely get on the field at any given point.
So I guess, just a little caveat there. So when they're having guys like Pedro Leon play shortstop, that's to see how he's versatile as a player if he gets called up and maybe has to man a position other than center field. Or when they would have, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Forrest Whitley played a little bit of first base when he was at Round Rock. I believe I was at a game when he was at first base and Framber Valdez was pitching, if I remember that correctly. And so, that makes sense for the versatility. Now, something I want to ask about before we go into the next segment is last year, like you talked about Jake Myers. Jake Myers basically came up, and he wasn't supposed to be the guy that came up. He jumped in front of Ronnie Dawson. Ronnie Dawson is a guy that has a lot of promise. I know in Sugarland he's an instant fan favorite. He's a great guy. But how do these guys leapfrog another player? What happens there? Like, what is the thought process if there's someone who, let's say, is overall more talented, but the guy that's not as talented leapfrogs him? Are there heavy analytics involved? Is that a hunch? Like, what goes into that process from the Astros perspective?
Well, I'll tell you, on Jake Myers' case particularly, he He shared, if you look at what some of the other guys did, they went to the fall instructionals. He went and faced major leaguers at the West Palm Beach. That was one of the things he mentioned was, I wanted to be facing the best of the best. So we had kind of a COVID offseason. You look at a guy like Matthew Barefoot. He's from North Carolina, and he was using his college facilities and things like that. Myers had this plan. I want to be, you know, I want to move up super quickly. So, you kind of got to tip your cap to a guy who they were letting him start, a couple of spring trainings ago. And I had read an article in Jane Hansen, What the Heck Bobby. She has left the field, if you will, but, Peter Solomon, she had interviewed in 2018, and she said, she asked him, of all of the defenders behind you, who would you recommend as your best outfielder? And he said, hands down, Jake Myers made the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life. He's the third person I've heard say that they had witnessed that personally. So while he can't come out of nowhere in a sense, I mean, the writing has been on the wall if you talk to his actual teammates and coaches. So,
right. You know, and it seems like, you know, when I interviewed Jake, that kid's built like a tank. Like he can be called Jake the Tank. He's got like the chiseled jaw. He's from Nebraska. I mean, his college coach was Darren Erstad. I mean, what the heck? I mean, this kid really has a big advantage, but all this talk about prospects makes me hungry because Thanksgiving, exactly. Thanksgiving's right around the corner, and you know, Built Bar has these amazing things. Now, I'm not saying that you don't eat pie or you don't eat what's there for Thanksgiving, but instead of eating two or three pieces of pie, like trade the pie for one meal and get a Built Bar. Like instead of the raspberry pie, maybe have the raspberry Built Bar. Why? Because there's less calories. Why? Because you don't want to have to feel guilty for putting all the work in the gym leading up to Thanksgiving week and throw it all away. These are low calorie, low carb, low fat, Mark. And I'm sure you've heard us talk about it. They're high in protein, covered with 100% real chocolate. Built is great. Is a great option if you're hungry. It's great if you're working out. There's new surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday, so mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event for all sorts of surprises. Go to built.com and use a promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So with that being said, you know, Jake Myers, I remember when I interviewed him, it was a joy to interview him. He was so nice. He was so cordial. A friend of mine and I actually met his parents on accident at an Astros game. They were in the gift shop and I overheard his mom and his dad talking, and I caught wind that was his parents. So I turned to him and I said, "You don't know me. I'm H. Town Wheelhouse. I have a podcast called Locked on Astros, and I interviewed your son when he was in Sugar Land. And let me just tell you, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. You guys did a great job raising him." And so I gave him all these praises, and his dad said, "Well, I wish I could have as much praise for him as you do, because I'm a little more critical." He goes, "Playing in the major leagues myself," he goes, "there's a lot of things that boy needs to work on." But that was like, you love to hear that because, you know, he comes from an humble place. And one thing that I love about all the minor leaguers that I've interviewed, and Brett Kanine, Peter Solomon, you know, Jake Myers, you know, Colin McKee, Brandon Belak, Josh Rojas, all these guys, is they all have great things to say about the Astros organization. So let me ask you this. People are always wondering, who is the next superstar? You know, we've got our top 10, okay? Pedro Leon, number one. Jeremy Glass of Wine Pena, love it. Corey Power Grit Lee. We've got the Freight Train Brown. And Peter Piper Pitchability Solomon at five. Now, you have 6 through 10. You have Barber, Whitley, Dubin, Ivy, and Santos. In the top 10, who can Astros fans expect to go watch one day at Sugar Land and in a few weeks or in a couple months, see them from Minute Maid Park?
I think from that top 10 list, coming up pretty quickly. Now, Whitley is probably going to need the full year to get himself rehabbed. Colin Barber, I call the future. He's been called the future center fielder for quite some time. We got him. We were basically able to woo him away from a University of Oregon full ride and get him out of high school. He ran into a wall and separated his shoulder. He was leading the entire minor leagues in WOBA. This kid's going to be a stud. So I'm going to keep him up there around six or seven. Sean Dubin is a guy that, as you know, has been lighting up the radar. He's going to be a guy that everybody needs to be watching for this season. I thought maybe we'd see him last year, but you probably have better intel that he was struggling with some physical stuff, not yes, necessarily his arm, but maybe COVID protocol type stuff. And you mentioned here recently, he's struggling with some allergies, things you hardly ever hear about. Right.
Right.
Tyler Ivey is a real enigma, if you will. He had what was reported as a grade one tear in 2019. He went about trying to take care of it naturally. And then when he pitched his first outing, I thought he did great. Remember his dad was.
Yeah. His dad's all stacking. Yeah. That was like Goldberg. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the guy's got some stuff and he's going to be just fine. But, you know, they thought that he was going to be out with a season-ending injury. Here we go again. We're going to try to heal that naturally. Tyler Ivey is – I don't think we need to give up on him one bit. Alex, the kid, Santos. Yeah, you mentioned if you've gotten to see some of the clips from him, the kid's going to be real, real good. Whitaker, we haven't seen a whole lot of him. He was in the Florida Coast League this year and kind of turned some heads. But right about this time last year, we were looking at Daniels, who we got out of Tennessee in the outfield, and he's had a disappointing season. So moving into the number 12 slot is Musial Tamaras. And here's a kid that I didn't know much about him. Pete Patilla, the assistant, was talking him up for last fall instructionals, and he's done a phenomenal job. A lot of folks think he'll just end up in the bullpen, but nonetheless, he looks like a wipeout artist. Joe Perez, it sounds to me like you're going to get a chance to talk to Joe coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's gonna be making an appearance on the show soon. I don't want to nail down a date in case things change for him, because a lot of times things change for the players, especially when they're in the off season. But we have talked. Joe and I have been messaging back and forth and congratulated him on making the 40-man roster. He had that resurgence. He came up hot. He kind of had a dip, and now he's back. And he's probably back, and so of these guys, do you think Hunter Brown touches the mound at Minute Maid Park this year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, maybe you heard it here first. I know there's probably some thought about maybe you know, holding on to him a little longer. If the concern is trying to keep him as long as we can, look for him to be a Super 2 candidate. And not to get too convoluted into how they figure that out, but just the way they figured out to bring in Alvarez on June the 10th, probably be looking for Hunter Brown about that time.
Okay.
Especially because, you know, the Astros are going to want to probably try to add another pitcher, maybe Cobb or Bassett, someone like that. We already got Verlander. And so that may put things. So that's a guy that you really want to be looking in the spring, Hunter Brown, and going, wow, I mean, try to earn a spot on this team, kid, because forget about it. Just he is a stud. He is our number one pitching prospect.
So we're going to talk as if right now, I'm going to talk as if right now we don't go get Starling Marte. Okay. Who knows? When this airs, Starling Marte may have already been signed. And we don't know. We can't tell the future. I know the Astros are pursuing him heavily. But let's just say the world exists where he doesn't come in. does someone like a Pedro Leon come up and make an immediate impact in center field, or is there still some wait time for him?
Yep, there's some wait time on Pedro Leon. I think he's got an advanced approach. We've never seen an 80 arm in an 80 grade system, except for maybe, back in the Hidalgo.
I mean, okay.
He's got that kind of an arm. That's why I call him tooled up. He's super fast. That's why they're putting him at shortstop, is they just want to see, according to Patillo, his words, we want to see how that plays. We want to see how those tools play. And, you know, he showed some amazing range. He showed some great playability, if you will. But I think the future is Pena right there. But going back to your question, who are some of the others that we kind of look to in terms of now the outfield? If we don't get Marte, I think we're in a little bit of an issue here where we probably would just hold on to Siri, and because Myers is going to be out probably the first couple of months at least.
Right.
So if that's the case, Siri.
So it'd be McCormick and Siri basically platooning and in center field.
Correct.
Now, if Marte gets signed, then Siri is gone.
I'd say, you know, Siri to me has some value, some trade value. I don't know how he ended up, whether he ended up on the 40 man. I think he is at this point, but there's still going to be some juggling about how the 40 man ends up. But I think certainly he's going to be a step above the next guy in AAA, which would either be Dawson or Marty Kostas at this point. And Marty, okay, Kind of made a surge through AA to get to AAA. He's going to be a player, but you know, if we were the Yankees, we could never put somebody like that on the field. And but the Astros are developing these players like you wouldn't believe. And fortunately, Jim Crane gives Click the levity to be able to bring these guys up. So
exactly,
we're fortunate.
So in the last segment, I want to tell you why I would bet on the Astros minor league system basically moving up in the ranks, because with betonline.ag, we're back and better than ever. The new web interface for the start of basketball season, more props and odds and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available to you in the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, with that being said, and I think I figured out how I want us to wrap this up, because there's a lot of negativity out there towards the owner, Jim Crane, claiming that he's cheap because he won't pay Carlos Correa. But one thing you and I have talked about, and I think it's important for the fans to know, and this might be a little bit of curveball, but you are very well versed in it, because we had a pretty in-depth conversation about it. Help the fans understand what value Jim Crane brings as the Astros owner when it comes to minor league talent, and kind of his philosophy as a club and why he's a championship owner.
Well, I'll tell you this. In 2016, I believe it was, he had exceeded the international draft, and he went ahead and got a Cuban, Elion Rodriguez, for $2 million, and the tax was $2 million. So
wow.
The kid cost us $4 million, and that goes all the way back to, you know, we had, if you kind of think about the context of 2016, you know, Jim Crane goes first class all the way. Instead of going down and just doing a rinky-dink facility in West Palm Beach, he goes down and buys a high-rise and converts it so that all of the players and their families can stay there. Isn't that kind of interesting that Verlander brought up as his last thing that he mentioned about staying here was having a facility in West Palm Beach? So, you know, Jim Jim does not go cheap on anything in life. And I think you can really see that from the standpoint of not only the players that he's drafted, but also the people that he's put in place to develop these players. You got to start looking at guys like Eric Abreu, who is a pitching coach down in the lower minors, French, Miller, Murphy, of course, Brent Strom. You got to start looking at these guys. Espada is more of a nuts and bolts guy. These are the guys behind the scenes that are making sure that a good example is we brought Jack Mayfield up a couple of years ago. And just before the game, he made a game-saving defensive play. He wasn't even supposed to play in the game, but Espada came out and hit balls to him and tried to go over every possibility if you get into this game. He wasn't even supposed to play. It wow. just goes to show every detail and no stone unturned that Mr. Crane is about. And we're pretty fortunate coming from McLean to a guy like Jim Crane, I'll tell you that. His background is a baseball player. He was mentored by Dr. Tompkins at Central Missouri State, and was like a father figure to him, and really taught him all the things about character and going first class. So I just I can't be happier about the future, because I know that Jim wants to win, and he's proven that he'll do what it takes to compete.
Awesome. And let's wrap it up with this. Jonathan Bermudez was, I believe, the pitcher of the year for the minor leagues. In 30 seconds or less, Jonathan Bermudez, does he make an impact this season with the Astros?
I think so. I think Jonathan's going to get a call up. And I think being a lefty, we've got – I didn't see Brooks Raley on the 40-man recently, so we've got Taylor. And then so that opened up a way for Bermudez. I'm going to throw out a couple of other names, a guy yeah. from Jim Crane's alma mater, Jonathan Sprinkle. This kid okay. had 16.9 Ks per nine.
Wow.
And he's done nothing but show that, double A is no problem right out of college. So Sprinkle is definitely one you want to look at. Let me just throw out one more since we're on the subject. Torres would have been a guy that we would Johansi Torres. We call him Vasiete, go seven, meaning his coach wanted him to not be a reliever. We want you to go seven.
Wow.
He's going to be a guy that did not have to go through season ending TJ surgery. Like we thought, he may be someone to come on up. And a guy I know that you kind of like is Brett Canine. He, yes. Did not have a great season, but he's one that is going to keep plugging away, and we're going to just keep pulling for him just the same. What a great guy.
Definitely, and there is so much more to talk about with this. And, Mark, we definitely are going to have you back on the show. Hopefully next time I can bring Eric, myself, we can all three have a great discussion. I know we're going to bring Jimmy Price on. Maybe we can have you guys on together. There's all kinds of options. There's a lot of things going on, boys and girls. So this has been the first of many On the Farm episodes with H-Town Wheelhouse and Locked On Astros. We brought on Mark White. Tell them one more time where they can find you on Twitter.
Find me at GoStros1. Looking forward to getting a few more follows. I just have not been focused so much on Twitter, but I'm looking forward to meeting new folks, new fans all the time. And I sure appreciate the shine, Brett. Look forward to talking with you again.
No, yeah, definitely. It's always great. I learn a ton when we talk. And if you're listening to this on audio, make sure you make us your first listen. If you don't subscribe to our YouTube channel, go to YouTube, subscribe, hit the notification button. When we go live, you'll know whenever an episode's up, whether it's live or not. You can watch it anywhere, anytime, from any device, even from your own TV, from your own living room. So check us out. This is Locked On Astros, and we've got more things coming to you. We hope you have a great holiday week. If you're off or traveling, be safe. And as always, I'm H-Town Wheelhouse and Locked On Astros. We're your team every day.